verse reads, and it says this in the NIV, for I am not ashamed. Come on, somebody say that. I am not ashamed. What is he not ashamed of? Of the gospel. Because it is the power of God that brings salvation to everyone who does what? Believe. I believe. Come on, tell your neighbor, I believe. First to the Jew, then to the Gentile or the Greek, right? Let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. It is blessed. I pray today that you would speak to the hearts of your people in this room and they will be transformed like only you could transform them. Allow me to take my time and hear from you and help me to allow you to speak louder than any opinion I have. Let your word be heard clearly and may people be transformed today. In Jesus' name, amen. What does it mean to be ashamed? What does it mean to be ashamed? I've been ashamed before. I remember when I was younger and you were in school hanging out with people and people didn't know that I was of mixed race, right? Got a little bit of everything. And they would talk about a particular group, mocking and making fun of. And I just so happened to have that in my family. And so as a result, because the group joked about a certain race, I felt ashamed to let them know that somebody dearly related to me is that. Ever been there? Oh, yeah. Now, I'm not like that now, but when you're young, this happens. I've been ashamed because when I went to school, when my parents first came to this country, my dad didn't have a lot of money. And like many people who first come to the country, the dollar store is the best place ever. Come on, for some of y'all, it's still the best place ever. We thank God for the ministry of Dollar Tree. It is the tree, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. But my father used to, while everybody's wearing Jordans and all these big expensive sneakers, my dad would come on and be like, yo, I found these for $2. We're like, what's that called? Voight. Y'all remember Voight? Amen. See, don't leave me out there alone. Olympians. We go down the line. I mean, the newer generation is... I leave it alone. Amen. And I would wear these shoes to school and people would make fun of me and I felt ashamed. I don't know about you if you've ever had to ask family members for their clothes because your clothes wasn't popping. And their clothes saved your life. Terrible what we do as a society, isn't it? Our kids can't even go to learn. It's a big fashion show. And are you looking back in hindsight now, it's hilarious because first day of school, everybody is more concerned about how they look. Y'all remember y'all used to put your clothes out, iron it fresh? Y'all grown now, don't iron your clothes. Your wife mad at you because you don't iron your clothes now. But first day of school, you used to. Remember that? And it'd be cold winter, and they'd be outside, no coat on, just to show you the shirt. Like, yeah, what's good, bro? What's good is pneumonia. And school was just a big fashion show. Y'all remember that? I've been ashamed. When the collective as a whole, when the community deems something as inferior, talks about it and you're around it, it might not be the truth, but it makes you not want to identify because you start to feel this isn't cool to be this. The dictionary says that to be ashamed, and it gives a couple definitions, it says means to feel guilt or disgrace. To feel guilty or disgrace, as in the sense of she felt ashamed for hitting her little brother. Y'all with me? Yeah. And so what that is saying is that, first of all, that's one of the ways you could kind of know that God is real, because there seems to be this moral code that we all kind of know that we should live up to. And when we don't meet it, we feel ashamed. Why would she feel ashamed of hitting her brother? That speaks to the character of her. And so when your character doesn't match a level in your mind that we kind of all know our character should be, you feel guilty and ashamed. Or someone might have said to you, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. And what they're saying is there is some code in which we ought to live up to, and you fail to do that at that time, so you should feel ashamed, guilt, or disgrace. I've been there before. My flaws have been exposed, and I felt ashamed. I tell you, being married exposes everything for you. Don't rush to get married. I ain't gonna get no amen from the married people. No. Rush to get married? Thank you, Brother Paul. Appreciate you. This is why I'm preaching from the Apostle Paul. Amen. Let me tell you, when your flaws, because tell your neighbor, you don't got it all together. Look, hey, hello. Look at your neighbor and say, you don't have it all together. And when some of that don't have it all together get exposed, and we find out what you really are, you feel ashamed. Amen. The dictionary not only talks about being ashamed in your character, but being ashamed because you feel inferior. Like, you know, the guy that pulls up and says, yo, I beat everybody. I'm nice in basketball. See me on the court, boy. And then you take him out to the court and you beat him 10-0. And he's struggling, and everybody looks at him. He begins to feel ashamed because what he bragged about, he actually was proven to be inferior. Now, I can't relate to that at all. So, I am the best basketball player in this church. A lot of guys have challenged me. Some have lost. And I stop playing because I just don't want to do it to you. Amen. So just to spare y'all, I let you live. Come on, Pastor's a good guy. That's my story, and I'm sticking with it. But have you ever feel inferior in some area? You didn't get a degree, and you go into a job that requires a degree, and God blesses you, and you feel ashamed when they highlight. You don't really know what you're doing, do you? Somebody pulls you. We struggle with that, man. We struggle with feeling inferior.
That's right.
Not beautiful enough. You don't match up. Your beauty structure don't check all the Instagram. Mm. You got to use a little more filters than everything. Feel ashamed. Because you don't line up with what society deems beautiful. Society got a picture of beautiful that oftentimes when we look at it, we don't even like it. Amen. Then there's another definition. Reluctant or unwilling to do something because of shame or embarrassment. As in, I am ashamed to be seen with him or her. You know, family member got disgraced, made the news, did something terrible, and now your whole family name is tarnished because of them, and you're about to go out and they want to come with you. You're like, bro, I think you should stay home. Because I'm ashamed that I'm associated with you. And the Apostle Paul says, I am not ashamed. Now watch this. If you want to avoid ever being ashamed, ever in your life, you got to do two things. You got to find a way to erase everybody's negative thoughts that at some point they will have about you because they're going to find out who you are. You have to find a way to erase everything negative about you, and you have to find a way to be flawless in every category in life. You have to achieve perfection and erase mistakes in order to never be ashamed. And the question becomes, is there something I can do to have those things happen in my life? And some of you would say, absolutely not. My argument is that Paul is saying, absolutely yes. That the thing that erases your past, the thing that trades your imperfection and gives you perfection, is the gospel. When God sees you, he doesn't see the thing you're ashamed of. He sees his son. Oh, God. Glory be to God. And Paul says, I've discovered that this thing does exist. So Paul says, I don't carry the feeling of feeling inferior because of the gospel. I don't carry the feeling of being embarrassed because I associate with Jesus. I don't live in guilt or disgrace because I preach the gospel. As a matter of fact, the gospel itself frees me from those feelings. Now, watch this. It doesn't mean that Paul wasn't shamed for preaching the gospel. Now, I'm not saying he was ashamed, but people tried to shame him because of what he believed. And Paul writes about that, and this is what he says. Look in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse number 16. Look at what it says. Because in life you will be shamed for what you believe. Shamed because of the stances you take. And how do you deal with when what you believe, what you love dearly, is not popular, is not the cool thing, is not accepted by the community? What do I do? So Paul is writing here to the church at Corinth, who they allowed a lot of super apostles to come in. And these super apostles, they would down Paul. And they would say, Paul is inferior to them. Paul is not as eloquent as we. We speak better. But they were false preachers. And what they would do is give a false message. And guess what? These people were giving all their money and everything away to these false preachers. Watch what Paul says. Paul says, I repeat, let no man take me for a fool. But if you do, then tolerate me just as you would a fool. He's trying to take shots. I love Apostle Paul. He says, don't take me for a fool, but if y'all consider me a fool, y'all be listening to mad fools. So take a minute and listen to another fool in your life. That's what he's saying. He said, so that I may do a little boasting. In this self-confident boasting, I am not talking as the Lord would, but as a fool. Since many are boasting in the way of the world does, I too will boast. This is what he said to those people. This was a slap in the face. He said, you gladly put up with fools since you are so wise. In fact, you even put up with anyone who enslaves you, exploits you, takes advantage of you, puts on or puts on airs or slaps you in the face. To my shame, I admit that we were too weak for that. In other words, let me translate. Paul says, y'all mad at me for the life I live and the way I am, but y'all have people come in and enslave you. And he says, my only regret is that I'm actually too weak not to do the same thing to y'all that they do. He's playing with them. He's toying with them. And I want you to know that some of you are like, well, we don't have that problem in this church. We don't have false prophets. I don't follow no false religion. I know the true God. But I want to take it a step further. You might not allow false teaching to enslave you, but you allow the culture to do it. And the culture slaps your God in the face, yet we pour money into it. Yet we still give them the most of our lives. Yet we still listen to their philosophies. Yet we still allow them. The culture says and does things directly against your God, and we play it in our cars. We watch it on our TVs. We turn up to it. We allow it in our lives. We buy their books. We run to their vicinities to see them. And all they are doing is taking your money, but they are anti your God. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing. I'll come out of that. I'll leave y'all. And Paul says, y'all, people slap you in the face, talk bad about you do all sorts of things to you, and we pay money for this type of life. And Paul says, y'all look down on me because I preach the gospel. Look at what he says. Go on. He said, let me boast a little bit. He says, to my shame, I admit I was too weak to do that to you. Whatever anyone else dares to boast about, I'm speaking as a fool. I also dare to boast about. Now, look, when you, I'm telling you, people tried to shame him. But the shaming that they tried to do to him, Paul wore as a badge. Look at what he says. Go on, 22. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they Abraham's descendants? So am I. Are they servants of Christ? I am out of my mind to talk like this. I am more. In other words, I am more of a servant of Christ than they are. Look at what he says. I have worked much harder. Here's my criteria. Here's my resume. I've been put in prison because of what I preached. It was outlawed in societies, but I preached it. He said, frequently, I've been flogged more severely. Go on. And been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. 1 I was pelted with stones. 3 I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I have been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, dangers from bandits, danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger from city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, and in danger from false believers. And he goes on and on. I've labored and toiled, and he goes on and on. And what he's doing here, Paul is saying that everywhere I went, what I preached was not popular, was not accepted, and people tried to lock me up, people tried to kill me, people stoned me, people told me to shut up. They shamed me. They tried to make me feel that what I was doing was inferior and less than, but I am not ashamed. Gospel. And like Paul, so they tried to shame Jesus. Jesus was never ashamed of who he was, but they tried to shame him. When Jesus was crucified, they mocked him. They stripped him of his clothes. They flogged him and beat him. The beating that he took was a brutal beating. They beat him. When they said, you're a king, let's make him a crown, they took thorns and put it on his head and pressed it in so that he would bleed. They took his robe and they gambled over it, made fun of him. He asked for water. They gave him vinegar to drink. He hung on the cross naked with his mother there. It was shameful. And look at what the book of Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says. Let's go there. They tried to shame him, but he wasn't ashamed. Look at what Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 says. That we should fix our eyes on Jesus, who is what? The pioneer and perfecter. Some version says the author and finisher of our faith. Is not exclusive to you. It's exclusive to God. I'll preach that another day. For the joy set before him. For the what?
For the joy.
He endured the cross and scorned the shame. Another version talks about that he overlooked the shame. In other words, what it's saying here in Hebrews, that there was a joy awaiting, and he kept his eyes on the joy. And when those feelings of being ashamed came from society, he scorned the shame and looked to the joy of what he was doing. Y'all follow that? Watch this. It gets better. He says, scorn and sat down at the right hand of God, of the throne of God. In other words, Jesus was shamed but never felt ashamed, scorned the shame, and look at what God will do. And that is exactly what Apostle Paul is saying. Go back to Romans 1:16. He is saying, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus because The gospel has an end result that it brings in your life. The point I'm trying to make is that God is not second best in Paul's life. The apostle is not just, he says, I'm not ashamed. Now watch this, y'all. He said, because it is the power. Somebody say power in this place.
Power.
Now power, a characteristic of it is influence. Anybody with power has influence. And so people want power because it brings some type of influence. Now watch this. Wealthy people have power. Doesn't mean wealthy people are smart.
Come on now, preach.
Everybody who got their money didn't get it because they were geniuses. Some of them inherited it. Some of us just got a genius somewhere in the family. Hallelujah. Some of you tight because you know you're about to pass your funds off to somebody who ain't going to steward it right. But you can't take it with you. So if you don't want to give it to your kids, church need a new building. Hallelujah. Do you understand what I'm saying? Rich people have power because their money gives them influence. And so the person could have no sense at all, but because they're wealthy, when they speak, people listen. And sometimes the dumbest stuff comes out of these people's mouth. Y'all ain't saying nothing.
All right, yes.
What you ought to do is, because they wave their wealth in front of us, not only wealth is influence, but fame is too. There's a lot of popular people, same thing. I ain't taking no advice from some of these people, because when they speak, I just wonder, how did you get? And nowadays, it's not hard to become famous. You want to become famous? Here's what you do. Go to Pathmark, and you know the belt? Go to BJ's, and you know the belt that slides up all the groceries? Go stand on it and walk on it like a treadmill and have your man tape you. And put it on Instagram. You're going to be popping tomorrow. Doesn't mean you're smart. And these people, I'm telling you, fame garners influence. And sometimes the pendulum swings the whole other way. Mm-hmm. Where people do stuff and gain fame because they live like an ascetic. What that means is, we are minimalists. We will empty ourselves from anything in this world, and we will just live off of our clothes and this one rice every day. Some of you are like, but I do that. You're cheap. They're minimalists. You just giving it up because you want money. They give it up because they, and what happens is, and listen, there's a whole belief system based on that. Power and influence, and the world waves these things in front of us and says, this is what you ought to be. And the culture screams. And so the power of it, we chase it. So we become aesthetic. We become wealthy. We become famous. We look, we're searching. I got to get my career popping. Because why? Because it's power. It's power. And the power is giving you this illusion that if you get this, if you become the if you get nirvana, if you become deep, if you become wealthy, if you become the man on TV, all of your problems will be fixed. The world is telling you what the gospel is telling you, that this is really the power to save your life. If you get this, the emptiness that you have will be filled. It is a false advertisement of power. And Paul says, the real power that changes you is the gospel of Jesus Christ. That everything you would search for in the culture, when you run up into Jesus, he'll change you. Let me show you another scripture. You don't believe me? Look at what Paul says. Go with me to the book of, Paul writes here, Philippians chapter 3, verse number 7. Paul is beginning to brag here. Paul says, when it comes to Jewish traditions, I'm the man. He says, I was born of the tribe of Benjamin. I studied the most. I'm a Pharisee. The level of knowledge I had, in other words, when you were a Pharisee in those days and you walked around, you are somebody of status. You are in the upper echelon. You are like, you know, politically high and spiritually high. And Paul said, I had all of that. Now look at what he says. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Do y'all see that? Go on. What is more, I consider everything loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. See, you would never put Christ first if you don't know the value of Christ.
That's right.
He said, the surpassing worth of knowing Christ, Jesus is my Lord, whose sake I have lost all things. I consider them. I consider every accomplishment I've ever accomplished. Look at what he says. As garbage that I may gain Christ. So this is not somebody who doesn't know what he's talking about. This is somebody who said, I had it all. And I consider those things trash compared to what I found in Jesus. I am not ashamed of the gospel, even though you shame me, because it is the power of God to bring salvation. Here's another way he was trying to say, it is one of those things that proves itself. That I don't have to be ashamed of it. That when the gospel hits somebody, the results will prove that the gospel is true.
Amen.
I want to close with this. How do people shame you today because of your belief in Christ? Here's how. Number one, if you are a believer in Christ in the marketplace, they say whenever you speak about your God that you are intolerant. Because of your belief in God, you're intolerant. Notice that everybody else gets to say what they believe, but when you speak up on yours, they say yours makes you intolerant. So who's really intolerant? Second, if they don't say you're intolerant, they say you're arrogant. How dare you say that your truth is claiming exclusivity? Because we know our God says, I am the way. So when you speak, they say, how dare you come in here and say your, you know, we live in a time where everybody say, come on, y'all speak your truth. And everybody's speaking their truth. I believe in twin heads. Oh, I believe in the moon. I pray to the moon, be hooking me. Everybody got their belief. But many of you, I believe in the Son, Jesus Christ. You say, you're arrogant. How dare you? Don't you see everybody should have freedom of expression? And so should I. Because they say, how could you say that you have a truth that is exclusive to God? And so what they do is they say you're arrogant. So while everybody can say their philosophies, they shame you and say you're not even welcome in the marketplace. When you speak, shut up. The Christian voice is always attacked and always being shut down. And the more they do it, they beat us into submission. Look how else they shame us. They just simply say your religion ain't cool. And how do they do that? Usually whenever they say Christianity ain't cool, that's the way of saying your religion don't allow us to turn up. Because your religion says you gotta wait on God for a wife. Bruh, we trying to do things out here. Y'all ain't gonna say nothing to me in this place. Your religion says that you gotta stay pure. Your belief in Christ says, see, what they don't understand is that we're not working to be perfect. We're dirty, but our God is cleaning us up to be perfect. If they understood that, they'll know that we're not perfect people. We're broken like you, but we want better. And so they say, your religion jacks me up because I can't get drunk if I join you. And so they just tell you, whenever somebody say Christianity is not cool, what they're saying is, it's not with the popular world and I can't wild out. That's what they mean. And it's so crazy because like Paul is saying, so you would rather push Christ aside who wants to fix society to glorify the things that cause you to be drunk, cheat on your wife, you to be pregnant, you to be high, you to develop a habit, you to do all the stuff so that you may involve yourself in that. You want to down Christ. Wow. I am not ashamed. You can't make me feel bad for the God that delivered me. You could go ahead and turn up all you want. Oh, my gosh. See, that's what I'm saying. When we come to church, we ought to be turning up different. And let me tell you something. If you find yourself in a place and they play a secular song and you on your heart, it's my joint. But in church, you can't be, this is my joint. Yes, I got no apologies to make, man. In 2020, we can't play no more, man. We either believers or we not. We either saved or we not. But we can't be both. they shame you. They say your God is not cool. They tell our young musicians that. They tell our young artists that. They say, why would you want to use your talent for God? Why would you want to use your gifting for God? Why would you want to make artwork for the Lord that has messages that shows who God is? Why would you want to do this? And then they say you're in a box. This is one box. If I could rock this box, we'd be good.
That's right.
There's billions of people in this box.
That's right. Come on now.
And when they out there, they make our artists feel, let me tell you, people, there's people in this church that's growing up in this church who've made up your mind that the first chance you get to run from God, you're gone. Because you have identified with the shame.
Come on now.
And it hurts me. Sometimes you go to Christian facilities ran by Christian people and only a few secular people there, and they cater for the secular. They ignore all the Christians and they play music for them and they do this for them. Worried? I ain't worried about no secular person. The only thing I got to worry about you, do you know Jesus?
That's right. Come on now.
Y'all hear what I'm saying? And so they tell our artists, leave, leave, leave. And then it takes, and y'all know me, I like the Bishop Kanye. But then you see an influx of them run back in who would never listen to a Lecrae, but now listening to Kanye. Why? Because Kanye gave you cool points. Gosh, y'all ain't saying nothing to me in this place. You would never pick up somebody who is after in the kingdom because you're not identifying with the God of Kanye. You're identifying with the cool of Kanye. Oh my gosh, boy, boy!
Rich, rich.
And Kanye is busy telling you, even I got to bow to Jesus.
That's right.
And if you listen closely, even he's telling you, Jesus is king, brother. Why do we allow this world to do this to us? Everything you need to be happy is right in your lap already.
Right.
You got breath in your lungs. You don't need nothing. I got to be six. I got to be on my grind. God, you got the what? I only do that because the world needs it. But if I never did another thing, I'm a blessed man.
Yeah.
Right. You understand? And the world shames you. It tells you your God is not cool. Then they tell you you're in a box. You're narrow-minded. Then they got the nerve to tell us we're not thinkers. So in the science marketplace, they say, why would you bring up God? When you go to science and you say to them, well, answer me the first question in science. Where did you come from? And then you go to math class. Watch this. I know who you are. Give me some love. You go to math class and they tell you in math, zero, nothing from zero brings nothing. You can't get nothing from zero. Nothing cannot come from nothing. Something has to exist for something to come.
That's right.
They teach you that in math. Bell ring. You go to science. You sit down. And the science teacher, well, this is how we all came about. There was nothing and something came from it. Am I lying?
That's right. Come on. Science.
And the word of God answers that science question from the first verse. In the beginning, God.
That's right. Come on.
But in the marketplace, they say you're not a thinker. And they shut you down. And Paul says, I am not ashamed. I am not ashamed. Paul said, anything inside of me, let it permeate Christ. Oh, that I may know him. To the point when Paul died. You know how the apostle died? He had nothing. He was sitting there in a cold cell, still writing. And he said, tell my brother to come and just bring my parchments. Parchments are writing utensils. And bring me a coat, because it's cold. But he's still speaking to me. And as long as he's speaking, I'm going to deliver what he says. I didn't give first services, but let me give you this. Let me give you this. Go to Romans 1:14. Go to Romans 1:14, around there. Look at this. Why would Paul not just ignore people and live for his God and say, forget them? Why you keep going and preaching in places where it's a shame? Because that's my next question. I know this is a lot. I know y'all ready to go home, but I just love me the Bible. Why would you, Paul, if you're being shamed for what you believe, keep doing it? This is the heart of Paul. Paul is the type of guy who, if he has a neighbor and the neighbor's house is about to be on fire, he's not the guy to say, ain't none of my business. He's the type of guy that says, I got to do everything to save you. I tried to save my neighbor one time, almost died. Right, Savannah? We'll tell that story another time. Don't laugh. All right. Come out of that mindset. It was snowing. I'll tell y'all real quick. It was snowing. The neighbor, the house behind us was on fire, and the fire was coming towards my neighbor's house. And I said, it was 6 o'clock in the morning. I said, they not up. Let's save them. Save them. And so I ran outside, pajamas on. The day before was church. I had my church shoes out. There's ice on the thing. So I put the church shoes out, ran downstairs, and whoo, bang. And there was my neighbor standing right there. What up, Rich? Man, I'm trying to save you. And you know, you try to play it off too. You're like, wake him up, wake him up. He's like, I'm right here, bro. Anyway, back to the message at hand. Why would you go preach in a place where you're being shamed? Because Paul is the type of guy, if I know what I got is what you need, I am obligated. And as believers, you are obligated. Pastor, you what? I don't really talk. I bet you if they empty your account tonight and you don't have a dime in it, you'll learn how to talk real quick. You pick up that phone and say, hello?
What's happening here?
Thank you, my sister. No, you talk when the situation is desperate. And Paul said this. Desperate situation. Men are dying and going to lost eternity. He said, I'm obligated both to the Greeks and the non-Greeks, both to the wise and the foolish. And what he's saying here is that the Jews were looking at him and saying, you believe in a false Messiah. The Greeks were philosophized, if that's a word. They were deep in their philosophies that they said, it's stupid what you believe. But he says, I'm obligated to both. Paul was the type of dude who walked up and reasoned with men. We don't serve a God who is brainless. We got one of the most deepest philosophers that he stopped on the road to Damascus and says, I want your brain. Paul? The greatest of writings came from that apostle. Paul feeling big back there with that name. Now Paul's like, yeah, that's what we do. The greatest of writings came from this apostle. That men actually go as far as say we love Jesus, we just don't like Paul. Religion say we'll accept your Jesus, keep your Paul. Oh my gosh. Listen, he said, I'm obligated to both. Go on. That is why I am so eager to preach the gospel. Also to you who are in, he's going to the capital of the world. And he's getting ready to leave earth. Because on this trip, this is it for Brother Paul. To the point where people told him, people said, Paul, they going to kill you over there. Paul said, I know. And they're going to arrest me and they're going to bring me before all the politicians. And in my trial, I believe he wants me to go to trial that I may preach in the courtroom. And so let it be. If after that I die, I die. Oh my gosh. And that's why the next verse follows.